You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It is great to be home. Welcome, everyone, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. We're back in our home studio for the first time in three broadcasts, and we come home to our familiar surroundings with some new equipment. As you may remember, folks, the last few shows we've had some local problems with our in-studio equipment. It would bleed out. We'd have to have our producer at the network in Utah bring up the music, and there were some interruptions. Well, we invested pretty heavily for us and for our budget. We invested several hundred dollars in replacing some faulty components. We had a couple of issues here at the radio station with some of the equipment we used to broadcast, and so we got that repaired while I was in Cleveland. And so, knock on wood, this should be, dare I say it, Keith Alexander, this should be an incident-free show. Everything breaks.
Don't jinx us, please.
Nothing lasts forever. And so we invested in some upgrades to our equipment, as we have to do from time to time. And so we're hoping that that will correct any technical difficulties that had been afflicting the program going back the last month and some change. And, of course, just to be back home with this equipment that sounds so much better than what we have to do when we do remote broadcasts or even a program via Skype, which I did last week on my way back from Cleveland on my cell phone. That's okay. It still gets the job done. But to be back here in the studio, I feel like a real radio host again. But we have had a very, very busy year. It seems as though this is our 12th year come October. It seems as though every year I have said this is the banner year for the political cesspool, but surely this year has been that. If the year ended tomorrow, we've already done more, accomplished more this year than any year in the history of this remarkable broadcast. Never before has the work of this program been more effective. Never before has this radio program been more relevant. We are in the news. This network is in the news. We're in the news every single week, and this week is no exception. But I'll tell you what we're going to do tonight. Being back home finally and back to our regular equipment, we're going to take it easy. It has been, as I mentioned, a busy year. We've been on the road. We've been under siege. We've had our hands in all sorts of pies, or rather, let's just make it a little more manly analogy. We've had our irons in a lot of fires. And so tonight, it's just going to be me and Keith and you, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to slow it down a bit and catch up, catch our breath together, but still bringing you 3 hours of hard-hitting, smashed-mouth political commentary. What we're going to do this first hour is, now that both of the conventions are in the books, we are going to look forward to what promises to be a very rowdy and volatile general election campaign. But first, Keith Alexander and yours truly are going to compare and contrast the two conventions. And we had a very productive lunch meeting yesterday, Keith and I did. And I've got
notes,
a piece of paper here on a note. You need a Venn diagram to really break it down. It's chicken scratch and it's all over the place. But somewhere on this page, we will follow a chart. And if we can cover half the things we talked about covering yesterday at lunch, you're going to be in for a dynamite broadcast this evening. So, Keith, first of all, first things first, your takeaways from the two conventions. Compare and contrast what you saw in Cleveland versus Philadelphia.
Well, one was striving to tell the truth, a truth that has been suppressed way too long from American politics, which is that the average American citizen, and in particular the average American white citizen, is being royally screwed by the system that is in place now. And that's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. It is intentional. And we finally found a voice in Donald Trump. On the other side, the Democratic convention was a thinly veiled pack of lies where they're trying to portray themselves as patriots and as people that stand up for the working man, when basically the Democratic Party has been distancing itself from its traditional base of white union working people, basically since 1968, 1972, when the new left took over for the old left in the vanguard of the Democratic Party. Basically, there has been no opposition by the Republicans or any other party that has any power to the Democratic globalist liberal game plan. That's what we've always said, is that the ultimate end goal of liberalism is globalism. Globalism is a disaster for the American people. And they have carefully tried to hide this, but one of the primary goals of globalism, of course, is equalizing incomes throughout the planet. Imagine how far the average American worker or the person in the middle class would have to fall in income if that particular goal is achieved, and they're well on the way to doing it. On the other hand, what about conservatism, which is supposedly what the Republican Party stands for? Their ultimate goal is nationalism, and in particular for America and Europe, white nationalism. Dare it be said. Let's bring it out into the open. And this is being commented on by various people in the mainstream, like some guy named Arvik Roy, that wrote an article in Vox, V-O-X, that was published or reprinted in American Renaissance this past week. It's really getting down. Of course, the Trump campaign talks in terms of nationalism and populism, not race. But quite frankly, he's moving the dial closer to our issues. And our issues are the ultimate truth that we'll be reaching if we get a full, uncensored public discussion about what's going on. So this is, like James has said, heady times for people like us, because we're being thrust out of the statue, out of the shadows into the limelight, and the mainstream media is in panic mode because they see what's happening, and despite their best efforts, they can't do anything about it.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned white nationalism, because I know that neither you nor I consider ourselves to be white nationalists. I think that a paleoconservative program with a healthy dose of racial realism and a healthy dose of what happens to a country when the demographics shift, and once you get under siege by third worlders and or Muslim so-called refugees / invaders, if you have a Buchanan-esque platform of economic populism and nationalism, I think we'll be just fine. And that's certainly how I think we would identify, Keith, if you had to ask. And of course, when people ask me how I identify, it's always the same. In this order, I might add: a Christian, a husband, a father, a Southerner, a paleoconservative, and certainly an advocate for European Americans. And all of that put into a blender, you get James Edwards and you get the political cesspool, and I think you get Keith Alexander as well. When we come back, we're going to continue with this comparison and this contrasting of the two conventions, the speakers that each nominee had at their conventions. A huge contrast there. We're going to break it down and pinpoint it right after this. Stay tuned. Hope we're sounding good tonight. We paid a lot of money for this.
Yeah, we broke the piggy bank.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so it's interesting to have us break down the two conventions. Of course, we were at the one in Cleveland. We could have gone to the one in Philadelphia. The problem, as ever, we were invited to go to the Democratic Convention of Philadelphia. We declined that offer. Two of the biggest reasons: it would be two consecutive weeks on the road, and we have to work for a living, unlike our counterparts in the press, and time away from family. We actually have families that we love, unlike, obviously, a lot of these godless people who attack us for a living wage. And, of course, it was cost prohibitive. It was cost prohibitive to go to Cleveland. To go to both of them would have really been pushing the envelope, but we were invited to go to both. We went to the former rather than the latter, and we caught some of the second one on TV. I can't say, Keith, that I watched all of the Democratic National Convention on TV the way I was there in Cleveland at the event itself, but just watching this, I'll be very candid, it was a freak show. Now, that's what the Democratic Convention was. You looked at the people in the crowd. And certainly there were some exceptions, but for the most part, you saw people that just looked to be sick, physically sick, mentally sick, spiritually sick. You just saw really the worst that I think America has to offer. And it wasn't just the people in the crowd, Keith, the people on the stage as well. We talked about this at lunch tomorrow. I'll set this up on the tee and you can go hit it out of the park. Just three examples of the difference between the two conventions. In the Democratic Convention, they had Muslims on the stage because obviously it's evil to point out the truth about Islam and the threats
and they want
that Muslims could be.
The other.
You had Muslims on stage in Philadelphia. In Cleveland, you had people who had been killed by radical Islamic terrorism. In Philadelphia, you had illegal aliens on the stage saying how pitiful they are, that they are not given the freedoms and rights of an American. I would hate to remind them that there is a difference between a privilege and a right. American citizens have rights as American citizens. People from other parts of the globe have privileges to come to this country if we choose to extend them that privilege. It is not their human right to be able to come here and take advantage of our system of living and government.
Globalists think that they should be able to come as a matter of right because what they want is the dismantling the dismantling of all borders, all impediments to the movement of people and goods. So consequently, they come in there cloaked in a mantle of self-righteousness that they need to come in.
All right, and Keith, it's close. I know it's been a few weeks since we've been here, and I'm trying to adjust this new equipment, but it's close to, you got to get that mouth right on the windscreen, and I'll try to adjust your levels over here on the console.
Okay, but is this better?
That's perfect. You're killing it right there. So you had illegal aliens in Philadelphia, and in Cleveland you had people who had been killed by illegal aliens, and then perhaps the creme de la creme, in Philadelphia you had the mothers of these Black Lives Matter
criminals,
boys, these criminals, yes, criminals, all criminals, all criminals.
All the time.
And and then Cleveland, rather, you had the mothers of police officers who had been killed in the line of duty, and many of those.
So the contrast couldn't be any more vivid.
Three examples. That's just three. We could go on, but that's three very stark examples.
And it shows you exactly where the two parties are standing right now. Basically, we no longer have the Republican Party that we have come to know and loathe. We have the party of Trump. And the party of Trump is a party that is nationalistic and populistic and for the American citizen, first and foremost. They see that as their client, not the international banking community, not the Jewish community, not liberals or progressives everywhere, not globalists. And this is what the whole shakeup, the palaver, all the weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth in the mainstream media excuse me, is all about.
And then there was a contrast between the turnout from Hollywood. And I don't know about you, but I don't think there's anything a working class, decent Christian family man likes less than being lectured to by a pretentious and vapid Hollywood starlet.
There's probably a sixth-grade dropout, by the way. So many of them are.
Well, they're certainly not intellectual heavyweights, and that's putting it mildly, but in at the RNC, you have the Hollywood heavyweights Stephen Baldwin and Scott Baio. Stephen Baldwin came to know Christ, and Stephen Baldwin, I met with Stephen Baldwin, or rather talked to him briefly in Cleveland, and he seemed like a great guy. On the stage in Philadelphia, and of course they weren't speakers, they were just, I think Baio may have spoken in Cleveland, but nevertheless, in Philadelphia, you had Lady Gaga, you had Katy Perry, who's claim to fame initially was singing this bisexual anthem, "I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It." She is the daughter of a small-time Baptist pastor out of Florida, so she's really someone they like. She has traded in.
She's turned on her own people. And being a race trader is, you know, it doesn't just pay 30 pieces of silver anymore. I mean, it is, it's the golden road to fame and fortune, unfortunately.
You had Lady Gaga, a degenerate, Katy Perry. You had Lena Dunham. Lena Dunham, her biggest thing that she's known for is the controversy and the question, did she or did she not sexually molest her own sister? Many people in the media say that she did. And so, but she was there. And now she's known for this lesbian show on HBO called Girls. So in Cleveland, you had Stephen Baldwin, an actor who's pretty much left Hollywood and become a Christian. In Philadelphia, you had these three and many others, many others. There was probably the most painful thing I saw in Philadelphia was watching Paul Simon struggle through a live rendition of Bridge Over Troubled Water. I don't know what was going on with that performance. But Lena Dunham, you had an assortment of homosexuals, transgender. And that was one of the things that the media said was so great about Philadelphia. The Democrats had the first transgendered convention speaker. You had illegal aliens. You had the mothers of criminals. I tell you, Keith, and I say it again, and we say it all the time, there is a real and substantial difference between the candidates, the likes of which I have never seen before. What you had in Philadelphia, a who's who of misfits, and this is supposed to be great. And the media, the way the media treated this thing, universally, the Cleveland convention was panned as dark and vengeful. But Hillary Clinton, and watching this witch, I mean, Hillary Clinton is
cackling out there like a witch.
Sure enough,
she just could not control herself.
And all of her assorted degenerates in the media universally was talking about, of course, because they're all in the tank for Hillary. I mean, they're basically agents of the Democratic Party. But how great it was, how wonderful. This is the vision of America that the founding fathers intended.
Well,
history's in the making.
The founding fathers are rolling over in their graves thinking about passing the mantle of the presidency of the United States to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is a globalist, looks with contempt upon the average American working man and woman, pretends that she doesn't, but, you know, it's like you said, it was a brave new world, as Shakespeare said, that has such people in it. Well, it's a weird new world that has such people in it as the ones we saw at the Democratic Convention. It's just, you know, and it also lets you know just how much the establishment in every facet of American life is sold out to the leftist vision. The cultural Marxist long march through the institutions has gone through Hollywood. Hollywood is totally enemy-occupied territory. So are the teachers' unions. So are the educational elite. So are the political elite. So are the financial elite. Wall Street is basically turned Jewish. It's no longer the Wall Street of Merrill Lynch and Brown Brothers that it was back in the 50s. Now it was Lehman Brothers until they gave up the ghost, and Goldman Sachs and people like that. And, you know, basically all the power, except for the power of the vote, was represented in Philadelphia, but the power of the people was represented in Cleveland.
And it's going to be a clash of these two wildly different ideologies, and we are, don't look now, folks, 100 days from Election Day. We'll be back with more right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Since Chinese President Xi Jinping assumed power, the communist government has pursued a crackdown on internal dissent unparalleled since the repression that followed the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre, according to the Financial Times. Over the last year, dozens of lawyers, activists, and journalists have been rounded up on charges of disrupting public order, which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison. Several of the more prominent dissidents have been charged with state subversion, which carries a potential life sentence. On April 2013, the top echelon of the Communist Party of China issued an internal memorandum called Document No. 9 that described the very idea of a non-government-controlled civil society to be an attempt to dismantle the party's social foundation. According to the Communist Party directive, quote, advocates of civil society want to squeeze the party out of leadership at the local level. Their advocacy is becoming a serious form of political opposition. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, the regime of Turkish President Erdogan has closed down 130 media outlets in his ongoing purge of suspected dissidents following the unsuccessful July 15th coup. Defending the crackdown, Erdogan claims that exiled cleric Fethullah Gulen has sought to create a parallel state within the military, academia, the media, and religious institutions.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. .us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. We are comparing and contrasting the dog and pony shows we saw in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention and in Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention, respectively. We've covered a few things so far. I'd like to compare the families now, the Trump family versus the Clinton family. Well, I talked about this last week. One of the greatest things that I saw in Cleveland was a legitimate family. Now, they might not share all of the values that we do or that I do as a fundamentalist Christian, but I saw a real family there. I saw sons and daughters proud of their father. I saw real love there. I saw a true husband and wife team. I saw pride. I saw love. I saw affection. I saw a family willing to fight together and for one another. It was absolutely endearing. Absolutely endearing to see Donald Trump Jr. speak, to see Eric Trump speak, Tiffany, Ivanka, Melania. That was real. I said it last week. Authentic, genuine. It was not a put on. Now, let's compare what we saw in Philadelphia. Number one, I think Bill Clinton was drugged. I was talking to my best friend growing up, a guy, I love this guy. We grew up together, still talk every day. And he's the one who first pointed it out, and we were text messaging throughout the convention, and he said, look at Bill Clinton, there's something weird going on, like he's on sedatives or some sort of antidepressant. And sure enough, there was a video, he fell asleep during Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech. There was a two-minute cut of him on CNN where he was just there with his eyes closed. He was obviously asleep. And so there was that, his speech. If you watched the way that he and Hillary Clinton spoke about one another, there is no doubt that they absolutely, not only don't really know one another, they absolutely, I believe, loathe one another. And I thought Chelsea
they
was...
They love power.
That they do, and that's why they've
they
stuck together.
They do share that.
They do share that. Chelsea's speech was a little more real, I thought. I think she probably has met Hillary Clinton before. But let me tell you something. You cannot be a very radical, and I mean extremist radical feminist, and at once be the kind of mother that God intended for a woman to be. So I'm sure that there is love between Hillary Clinton and her daughter, but I did not see the family and familial bonds out of the Clinton family that I saw from the Trump family. Does anyone really believe that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton sleep in the same room? Does anyone really believe that Hillary Clinton even sleeps with men? But I do believe that Trump and Donald and Melania probably still do. So that was one thing. So Bill Clinton looked sick. It seemed very fake. Anything you want to add on that very quickly, Keith, before I move on? I don't want to dwell too much on the families, but
well,
there,
James,
that was another contrast that I saw. Or
James,
you,
if anyone, should sympathize with Bill Clinton's situation, because I understand that he has recently switched to a vegan diet. Could you imagine what type
that
of condition you
it.
Would be in if you were eating all vegetables? You would probably be comatose.
Okay, well, we solved Bill Clinton's problem. But I'll tell you. I'll tell you this. Good one. That, Shaquith, that was a good one. But I will tell you this, though. Talking about Hillary Clinton and radical feminism, should Hillary Clinton be president of the United States? Under God's law, a woman should not even have dominion over her household. There are natural roles and abilities that men and women have. Together,
that are God-ordained.
That are God-ordained, and together, they are complementary of one another, and together, a man and a woman can raise a family.
They're not supposed to be competitive or competitors with one another.
Well, all of that's true, but I'm just saying, and I'm not saying the husband is the ruler of the house under God's law. And that's the law that I abide by. So, you know, should Hillary Clinton have dominion over the country?
Over the house, the national house, so to speak.
There you go. Good. Very good. Now, you say, well, let's get into this hypothetical thing. Would you take Ann Coulter as president over George Bush or Barack Obama? Well, of course I would take Ann Coulter over president. But at the same time, would this country be better, frankly, if women didn't even vote? I mean, ask yourself that, because we see women are so, even more than men, and even though men now need this status, they need to be accepted, they need food, water, shelter, and status in order to survive, but women especially need that. You know, I think the model before suffrage was a husband and a wife come together as a unit, and the man cast the vote for that family. Anyway, this is chasing rabbits a little bit, but the idea that Hillary Clinton would be the president of God's country is anathema to me. But how about this too? Mike Pence versus Tim Kaine. Any thoughts on those two? Because we need to mention the VP, the undercard of these tickets before we move on to other topics this program.
Well, Tim Kaine is obviously an affront, a slap in the face of the Bernie Sanders supporters.
And why didn't she just select Bernie as the VP? I think she would have clinched the election with that.
Well, she wouldn't have made all of the Bernie Sanders supporters unhappy the way that they were, and they were vocally unhappy. There was much less unity in Philadelphia in the Democratic convention than there was in Philadelphia. But let me go back to what you were talking about earlier with women and a woman as president, which is supposedly such a great breakthrough. You know, I don't mind seeing a woman as president, but I certainly don't want to see Hillary Clinton. Like Ann Coulter, Laura Ingraham, somebody like that I could live with. But you're absolutely right. God's natural order is that the woman is not the head of the household. And if she's not the head of the household, she certainly shouldn't be head of the nation.
And that's not to say that they're second-class citizens, because God knows women have natural attributes and abilities that men don't have. That's why a man needs a woman and vice versa.
But see, the other thing is, I've always mentioned this, and I think it bears repeating here. There's no accident to the fact that the left, in its long march through the institutions, began with women's suffrage as their initial offensive. They knew that by doing that, they would adulterate and water down the natural conservatism of the electorate, of the people of the United States, by 50% by doing that, and basically soften up the whole electoral process so that it was more amenable and more vulnerable to the to liberalism and liberal pitches, which is what has exactly happened. You know, basically, women want to be perceived of as being nice.
And this is, and with the
media,
liberals,
liberalism has cornered the market on niceness.
Well, with the media telling you that in order to be socially in vogue and fashionable and trendy and kind and good, you have to vote for the so-called progressives. And a lot of women fall into that.
And you've got to be inclusive. You've got to be, you know, non-judgmental. You've got to be tolerant. You've got to celebrate diversity. All of these things are ways to let the camel's nose into the tent in our society and lead, you know, we've got strangers in here. For example, we have Muslims that want to cut our throats. And we're opening the portals, opening the immigration points to allow these people just to come in as they please. And then once they come here and commit crimes, we can't mention that they're Muslims. This is all part of this rubric, which is poisonous, this liberal tolerance, everybody's equal rubric that is leading to the destruction of the United States and Europe. And this is what all the right-wing reaction to liberalism is about, that is spreading throughout the Western world. And thank goodness, hopefully it has happened in time to prevent us from going over Niagara Falls in a barrel as a people and as a nation.
It's hard to see any reform, any reclamation of America's destiny through the existing system if Hillary Clinton wins and we suffer another 4 or 8 years of this program. And I don't want people to think I'm schizophrenic, because I've maintained for quite a while now that I think Donald Trump will become the next president, and I think that he will win. I think that he'll win by a healthy margin. If Hillary had selected Bernie, however, I think that she would have been much more competitive and probably won.
Thank heaven she didn't.
But since because he taps into a little bit of this left-wing populism that's somewhat similar to Trump, and I think more Bernie voters than the Democrats would like to admit or that the media is willing to admit will go over to Trump. I still think Trump's going to win. I think it would have been much more difficult if she had captured the Bernie contingent and put that on the ticket.
It's just as simple, James. Globalists want to equalize incomes throughout the world. Their big impediment in reaching this is the existence of white nations. White nations seem to do better as a whole than any other nation, even Oriental nations. We have more prosperous societies and more inclusive societies. It's friendlier. It's nicer. Well, how do they deal with that problem? Very easy. End white nations by pumping in non-white third worlders into every majority white nation in the world. And Trump has finally blown the whistle on this, although he's doing it with a dog whistle, not a direct whistle.
That's okay. We'll take any whistle we can get right now because Western civilization is teetering on the precipice. We'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
North Florida, North America, and YouTube Babylon, are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're really getting back to our normal setup tonight. We even have Scoop Stanton here with us during his normal segment, last segment of the first hour. So everything falling back into place after very tumultuous, eventful, adventurous last 4 weeks for this broadcast, this network, and yours truly. I'll say one more thing about We'll let Scoop go, and I'll carry this over until to the next hour because he's already on the line. We don't want to make him wait. Scoop, what's on your mind tonight, brother?
Good evening, James, and the rest of the Cisco family. Last week was the best of times and the worst of times. We made it to the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, but the Cesspool and Liberty News Radio is a family. And I consider Matt the Copperhead a brother. Not only that, Matt the Copperhead is a soldier. He tried desperately to break me out of D.C. to get the 10th anniversary party by posing as a radio executive talking to me over the telephone. But due to personal reasons, Matt decided to cut ties with us and pursue other interests. With that being said, I asked Matt what he's going to do. He said he's going to go from the Latter-day Saints to go run back with the Boondock Saints. But Matt, we miss you. You're still a part of the family. But anyways, back to the issue at hand, I was watching the RNC and the DNC conventions. The RNC had little to no problems. The DNC was a mess. Ohio is an open carry state. Pennsylvania is not. Firearms will make people civil. The RNC spoke about patriotism, bringing manufacturing jobs back to our shores, and backing up our law enforcement 100%. The DNC spoke about the civil rights of minorities, women, gays, Muslims, illegal aliens, and how the cops absolutely suck. Almost nothing was said about a runaway debt, private sector jobs, personal safety, or our borders. Donald Trump gave the speech of his lifetime. He spoke about how all of us will make America great again. He posed for pictures with cops on tarmacs at airports. He and Mike Pence at Tampa got in a picture with a group of about 20 or 30 uniformed officers and got into the background of the picture, behind the flag and among the uniformed officers. They weren't out front and center. Also, Donald Trump called the Cleveland Police Department chief, thanking for a job well done. So the chief had about 50 cops with him and said, "Mr. Trump, I got 50 cops with me. Would you like to talk to them on speakerphone and thank them personally?" And, of course, Trump did. Meanwhile, Hillary came off as a dictator, rehashing the same programs that ruined this nation for 50 years. On top of that, it was me, barely mentioned the police. Now, the Republicans praised the cops all day, every day. You thought Sheriff Clark was running for office, not Mr. Trump. The Democrats, meanwhile, had a bunch of mother of thugs who were killed by law enforcement for doing things that drew attention to themselves. Then when the Dallas County Sheriff asked for a moment of silence, people in Philadelphia screaming, "Black Lives Matter," during the moment of silence. James, back to you.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned that I'd like to double down on is, again, the law enforcement community. And I saw that video you sent me of Trump just very nonchalantly, without any pomp or circumstance, not sneaking up, but basically without any fanfare, going up and getting into a group shot with some police officers. And last week, of course, we had the three-hour show. It was the convention report special. All 3 hours of last week's show was basically me breaking down the who, what, where, when, and why of our time in Cleveland, what I was able to see, what we were able to do. We played some interviews. We have some more interviews. We're not going to play them tonight. We might hang on to them for a while, but we couldn't even play all of the interviews last week. But one of the things I mentioned in last week's show was just how incredible the law enforcement community was in Cleveland. You had agencies from all across the country, highway patrol troopers, local police, just everything, multi-agency security, and you felt 110% secured without even the least bit of hassle. Yet you had to go through a metal detector, but there was nothing to it. I mean, it was amazing what a good job they did. And they were all so friendly. We talked to a lot of them, Sam Bushman and I, Kurt Crosby. We talked to a lot of them while we were there, and they were just the best. And I will tell you, Trump wins the police vote 10-1 in November.
If he doesn't, there's something wrong with the police, let me say that.
No,
I don't think they – and also the military. You know, the military is backed by Donald Trump, and they know it. And anybody, you know, that they will find the stray rogue general occasionally to come out and endorse Hillary Clinton or the Democrats. But, you know, basically law and order, both internationally and domestically, which would be the police and the armed forces, they have a real champion with Donald Trump, and I think they understand that.
Scoop, any other observations from you? That was a pretty good breakdown on the differences between the conventions as Scoop sees it.
Right. Well, as you know, James and Keith, I usually call out the names of those killed in line of duty. But since I've been gone for so long and we had so many things, so many law enforcement killed in line of duty by the hands of other individuals, the list would be gone too long. But we just want to remember those from Dallas, Texas, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, San Diego, California, and Kansas City, Kansas.
I'm glad you brought that up too. I'm glad you brought that up, Scoop, because as you know, when we have any sort of terrorist attack, be it the radical Islamic kind or the domestic terrorism we see out of Black Lives Matter, we normally have Sean Bergen on to do at least an hour breaking it down. The last time Sean was on was a couple of weeks ago. I was in Alabama. He was breaking down Dallas. Since then, obviously, a couple of days after that, we had Baton Rouge. We had Nice. There have been so many incidents just in the last 3 weeks. You didn't even mention everything going on in Germany with with all the attacks that have happened in Germany. I think there have been three or four in the last week in Germany. You had the priest in France get his throat slit. And murdered.
Actually beheaded.
Okay, yeah, well, so you can't even keep up with it. You cannot keep up with it, and it is all aided and abetted. It is all aided and abetted and in some ways implicitly sanctioned by the media, by the Obama administration. It's Trump's fault. It's our fault for wanting to secure our borders that these people get so irate they have to do this. But Germany, no one has been more welcoming and I think treasonous. Angela Merkel is a traitor.
To the German people.
To the German people. But no nation, because of her treason, has been more open to this invasion than Germany. And look at all of the carnage happening in Germany in return.
And what is Hillary Clinton? She's America's answer to Angela Merkel.
And Trump always gives this story about the snake, the vicious snake, and we all know
the old
now.
Story about that song, you know, about the woman that finds a half-frozen snake by her doorstep. She takes it in, takes it to her breast, tries to warm it up, and the snake bites her and kills her. And as she's dying, she says, "How could you do this after I've been so kind to you?" And the snake's reply, remember the song from back in the 70s or late 60s? "Silly woman, you knew I was a snake all along." Well, that's a parable for these third world invaders, particularly Muslim invaders, these jihadis that are coming to America and Western Europe now.
It's just so sad, especially in Germany. That nation has been so devastated by the two world wars, the acts of genocide that we saw at Dresden, man, woman, and child, a completely defenseless civilian population. There was no military defense in Dresden. They firebombed it. Germany rebounded from losing World War I-A and World War I-B, and they have come back, and they're still a superpower, or at least
but they live
very tenuously, but they will not survive. They will not survive this demographic onslaught.
And basically what they've
Islam.
Done is a psychological warfare on them that has made them assume this guilt, weakens them, and has allowed this influx of foreigners into their nation. And no nation can survive that. America can't survive it. Neither can Germany, neither can England. We've got to stand up for the founding stock of our nations.
Well, Scoop triggered me with the talk of all of these attacks, and that led me to think about Germany. And it's just such a shame to see a people who have suffered so much over the last 100 years now have to suffer yet again at the hands of their leaders.
Of a traitorous leader, another woman, who basically is the German version of Hillary Clinton. Do we want the American version of Angela Merkel running America? That's the question, the $64,000 question that will be answered in November.
Paints a very clear picture of what we're facing here. A Scoop, final word to you. We only have seconds remaining.
Well, we talked about this over 10 years ago when I was living overseas, about how England was falling apart, how France was falling apart, and then when I visited Berlin, they had a couple hundred thousand Turks. You know, another case of we told you so, and we can either look like Germany or vote for Donald Trump and then hopefully, you know, get this country back to normalcy.
And this is the thing. They always say it's hate. It's the politics of fear to want to secure your borders. I don't hate Muslims. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate anyone. But I also don't love anyone as much as I love my own people. And it is not hate to want to secure your border and protect your family. It is not. And we have to quit letting the left tie us up with words.
Well, the one thing I would say is I hope that the Germans find their own version of Donald Trump to oppose Angela Merkel.
Hey, listen, and when that happens, it's not going to be pretty because nationalism is ascendant in Europe, as we know, and soon enough, perhaps in the next cycles, you're going to start seeing strong nationalist leaders. I think Austria may be the first country to do it, and you're going to see that happening across the West and hopefully here in America in November. Thank you, Scoop, for your contribution tonight. Folks, stay tuned. Hours 2 and 3 coming up right after these words.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.